Part of me last week, I went to the Gold Coast and I went up to Cairns and to see Mum and Dad. And for those who know Mum and Dad, they send their love to you all. They're going well up there. Mum and Dad used to be part of this church. That's what brought us to this church because they used to invite us here for Mother's Day. We had to come for Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I fell in love with the people in the church. And that was about 15 years ago, wasn't it? Roughly 14 years ago. And here I am. But I went up there to spend some time with them, but it happened to be that there was a couple of churches that are from Victory Life up there, and one was from an Aboriginal community and the other one was in the city. So I spent 2 days ministering to these two churches, which was really great. And we went and had coffee with the two pastors, and we all sat around and we were praying. And this was on the Saturday. On the Saturday, we all got together and we really felt the Lord saying, we've got to stand together in unity and pray as a church, as the Australian church. And then I found out last week on Sunday, you guys actually stood together in unity and prayed together for the nation of Australia. And I was blown away. I just want to thank Kyla for a great message last week and the team. Isn't God good? When the Spirit flows and you're accepting to hear from Him, things happen. It's so precious. Anyway, they're doing amazing things. This one church is doing in the markets up in Cairns. It's really hippie. It's, you know, everyone's got dreadlocks and everyone's, whoa, man, walking around. Anyway, they got this tent. You know, you've got the tarot card reading, you've got the, you know, big ball or something. They go like that over and tell you how many pimples you got on your backside or something. But the next tent was a Christian tent. And these people from the church have got this tent and they say, come in and we will pray for you. We will pray healing. And, you know, they get over 200 people through that tent every weekend. And people come out, all these hippies in their dreadlocks and everything, they've been to all the other ones, they're coming through going, wow, man, the heat in my shoulder when you prayed for my shoulder. And, oh, wow, man. And they're actually saying it this loud. Wow, I can move it, man. Wow, this is great. Whoa, do that again. And they go back in the tent and they pray it again. This is what's happening in Cairns. And I was going, wow, bring it on. Hey? That's what we've got to be seeing more of. And I mean, today's priceless promise number 5 is, you have God's attention. All these people, especially this couple that's in this Aboriginal community, they've been living there for 7 years and they live just outside of the community, and they live in this shed, and their water comes from a big PVC pipe that goes 400 metres outside the shed up into this waterfall, and the pressure of the waterfall gives them their water. They've got no power, they've just got a generator, but they love these people in this community and they're there for good, and that's where they've been. But their prayers have been answered day by day. Bit by bit, month by month, year by year. And the only thing that's keeping them going is the prayers. Why? Because they believe that God is listening to every single one of them. I want to tell you a little story about a woman in a tree in a front yard that blocked her view of a neighborhood. She decided to ask God to move the tree into the backyard where it would be out of the way. That night she knelt in her room and she prayed, Lord, you said in your word that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can say to a tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea. And it would happen. So I'm going to take you up on that. Please put our front tree in the backyard so it won't be such a nuisance. Well, she went to bed and she woke up, and the next morning she hurried to the front door. And when she opened it, she saw this huge tree with all its roots as deep in her front yard just as it was the day before. Under her breath, she muttered, I thought so. It wasn't that deep, but many Christians refuse to believe in God's ability to answer prayer. And I mean, they wouldn't normally say that they don't believe in it, but their own prayer lives betray what's going on in their hearts. And as a result, like the woman with the tree, they pray for absurd things outside God's will. Or they fail to ask the Lord for what their desire is that to give them. And all of these things throw a monkey wrench into the Heavenly Father's machinery of answered prayer. Now, we're continuing our series on priceless promises, and one of the greatest promises of God is the promise that he listens to our prayers and he acts upon them. In 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says, "And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that what? That pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our requests, we also know that he will give us what we ask for." It's the word of God. The Bible tells us very clearly that when we pray, we have God's attention. And I hope that by the time that we're done today, you will begin to see what a fantastic tool prayer can be in your life. I love what you all did last week by coming together and praying for certain things. I'm glad that some of you got your roar back in your life. Don't lose it. There are two important facts that we need to focus on this morning in your outline. Number one is God is listening and answering. You know what drives me crazy? You know what really drives me crazy? And I'm guilty of this as well sometimes. But when I'm talking to someone and it's obvious that they're not really listening to me. All right? That drives me crazy. I don't want to be crazy up here. So I hope you're all listening to me. You know, you can have a conversation with someone and it's obviously that while in their head is their head's nodding as you speak and their eyes are directed your way, their mind is a million miles away. I can see a few wives. I sometimes myself, when I have a few things going in my head, do exactly the same thing. Especially before church, someone might come running up to me and start talking about some stuff that's going on in their life, and I'm just trying to prepare for my sermon, and I'm just going, So I apologize if I seem miles away. But thankfully, that's not how God sees it and deals with us at all. He is totally attentive to every need and every prayer. And every time we speak to him, he is so attentive to you personally. He wants to hear what we have to say and then do something about it. That's the God that I serve. You know, once I read a rather self-righteous sounding book about prayer where the author stated that we should never ask God for anything. And if we had to, it should be at a minimum. And the author believed that the more mature the Christian becomes, the less they request from God. And the more they will spend their time just praising his name and worshipping his name. Now that's about the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. You know, there are many books written on prayer. You can actually go to, I got that book in Coorong. You got to be careful. As your pastor, I'm saying, you've got to be careful what you pick up and what you read. If you want to know anything about prayer or anything about the kingdom stuff, if you want to know anything about politics or business or anything else, there's only one book that's got the truth in it, and that's the Bible. If you want to know about prayer, you read the Bible. In John 15, verse 7, it says, "If you stay joined in me," okay, "if you stay joined in me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted." John 15:16, "The Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." John 16:40, ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. Luke 17:6, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, may God uproot you and throw you into the sea, and it will obey you. Mark 11:23-24. Mark's probably got more faith than Luke, I think, because he says, I assure you that to say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Listen to me, you can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. I love that. It's the word of God. It's the truth. What's he saying? This is the word of God. He is saying that our power of faith is as unlimited as the power of God. If I truly believe, I will receive. Do you believe? Do you believe that God can use our church to lead thousands of people to Jesus Christ? Do you? Do you believe that he can impact your neighborhood, your family, your workplace, place for Jesus Christ? Do you? Do you believe that God has the power to fulfill your dreams? If so, then why aren't we praying those kind of prayers? Prayer has the power to send ballistic missiles into any situation. The church needs to rise up, especially in times like this, what we're having now. Like Lance said, we're not voting for accounting we're voting for family, and we're voting for our livelihood. Our church is being eroded away by do-gooders up in those seats that don't fear God. But we have the power, and that is prayer. God promises us that he is listening. And there are a number of reasons that prayers aren't answered. But the biggest problem we have is a lack of belief. When we read the New Testament, we read about the early Christians. It's a total mind blower. If you want to read the early Christians, go to the book of Acts. It is one of the best books in the Bible. They were happy people. They were joyful people. They were contagious people. They were enthusiastic people about life. They had power in their lives. They saw miracles happening on a regular basis. You ask a new typical Christian, how's it going? He'd say, oh, business as usual, one miracle after another. That's what it was like. And we say, how come you don't have that kind of power? Because we don't ask at that level. The bigger your request, the bigger your beliefs in God, I believe. Sometimes I get tired of asking God to do things I can accomplish in my own power. I want to request things from God that can't be accomplished by anyone else. What are you lacking right now in your life simply because you've never asked God for it? Now, I get it. I get it when you know, there's probably people sitting in here right now saying, Kerry, you don't understand. I've lost a loved one. I prayed for healing. I lost a loved one. I lost a marriage and I prayed. I lost my job and I was praying. I can't answer you on those questions. Only God can. But if you have faith, I'm not saying that you lack faith or you lack belief in those situations. You know what I believe? I believe that sickness can't hold me down. My job can't hold me down. Money can't hold me down. Because I'm walking in victory already. sickness may kill what you see here. This body here may die, but I will live forever. Amen. All I'm asking, or what God is asking, is to say, talk to me. Talk to me. Read me. Read my word. What do you ask for? Ask for what you desire. In Psalm 37:4, it says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Desires. If you're delighting yourself in God, you're trying your best and you know how to get God's spirit life in your lived in your life, well then your desires aren't going to be wrong. If you've got a close relationship with God and you're getting into his word, your desires aren't going to be wrong. And God promises that he will give you all those things. In Psalm 84:11, it says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from those who do what is right. God is not up there in heaven holding things back and saying, you've got to convince me to give them to you. He is saying, ask. And when you ask, everybody gets blessed. Everybody. God gets blessed because he shows his nature as a giver. You get blessed because you get the answer to your request. The world gets blessed because all of a sudden you've got a testimony. And one thing about people who have answered prayer is that they can't keep it to themselves. They have to share it. Just like the hippie I saw up in Cairns going outside in front of everyone going, wow, man, that's really hot. They start sharing with everybody. And that's what God wants. I'm going to ask Bill Crabtree to come up now and give a testimony. We've got a microphone. I just want Bill to share what's been going on in his life. All yours, mate.
Thank you, Kerry. I was an enthusiastic young Christian. My mother had a great faith. I was 9 years of age when I recall getting out beside my bed and just crying and saying, God, thank you that you love me. I don't understand it, but I thank you. That happened for about 10, 15 minutes. Then when I was 14, I prayed the prayer. I was told to pray the prayer by my uncle, and I did. When I was at university, I was the president of the Christian Union, and we had a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 1983, where I received a wonderful range of giftings, including tongues, word of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles. Hayden Nelson is a good friend of mine, and Hayden was a part of that. He came after me, and Hayden's, as you know, pretty prominent now in the Christian world in West Australia. Then I met Monique in my last little while at UWA, and we fell in love. That was love at first sight. It was a wonderful thing. I just saw her, she saw me, and we both had the same. So I'm blessed to have had a wonderful marriage with Monique. Then we moved to the country and I got heavily involved in agriculture, in the Department of Agriculture, and I ended up writing a book about sustainable agriculture. And now I'm an international speaker on the circuit of sustainable agriculture. Then we moved to another country town, and I became an elder. We did a lot of work with children. We ran the kids' church, Monique and I. I played the guitar and we had very energetic times. We have 4 children. They're all left home pretty much now. Samuel's a policeman, 22. John's a lawyer, the oldest, and 2 other children in between. And then I had a difficult time. I was just reflecting while Kerry said, you're not listening to me. I wasn't listening to him because just at that very moment, because I was reflecting on what I might say up here, and I was reflecting, we had a tough time, and I thought, gee, it was really tough. Monique got chronic fatigue. Our daughter Brianna at 15 kept collapsing at school and couldn't wake up. Our son Jonathan had glandular fever. My mother developed Alzheimer's. My sisters started attacking us because Mum was saying stuff that didn't make a lot of sense, and they therefore concluded that we were doing something wrong. I was an elder in the church. The minister was inappropriately just touching girls, and about 30 girls felt really jarred by that. I was an elder in the church. I just lost my job. So when all that happened, I was a little bit perplexed. And then there was a split in the church, and 30 people agreed to come to our. We didn't want to do anything wrong. We just wanted to honour God and do what God wanted us to do. So we decided we would hold the people together who would wanted to create a safe place. So we had church in our shed for about 3 to 4 months. And then at the end, I got kicked off the eldership, basically, because it was easier to let me go. The people that were giving us counsel said it's easier to let Bill go than it is to let the minister go, because it'll have ramifications throughout the whole community. But I stood for truth. I stood for God. And so I threw my hands up in the air and said, God, I don't have a clue what you're doing. I don't even know that you're there now. And that happened over a period of about 10 years. So it was a very disillusioning time. But I'm pleased to say that he hadn't finished with me yet. When my good Christian friends would come up to me and I'd run into them, they'd say, Bill, where are you at with God? And I'd say, I don't know. I'd say, if God's real, the only way I can put it is I'm Moses and I'm out in the desert. And that's the only way I can understand it. Or I'm Job or something. And maybe that's partly what it was. For 10 or 12 years, I really struggled. And then March this year, I've been coming to this church a bit, and those of you that might have run into me would have detected, and you had your good spiritual antenna up, you would have detected there's a guy that's a bit hurt, a bit lost, and he seems all right, though, because he's got a really good wife, so he mustn't be too bad. But there was a real sadness. I could feel myself slipping down, 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 down. My joy had just gone, decreasing. It was just winding like a big spring is just starting to run out of, you know, energy and life and enthusiasm for life, enthusiasm for doing anything wrong. I learned how to swear really well. I got a farm, praise God for the rain this year too that you prayed for early this year. It's been a very wet year, and up where I farm at Morrow, it's looking very good, and tomorrow's looking magnificent with 25 mils possible, which is huge for this time of the year. So then Monique told me about this guy, Robert Mawiri, who was speaking at Reg Moriah's church near Loo. And so we went, Monique told me, she said, either this guy is a nutter or he's onto something. And so that was Thursday night he spoke, and Monique heard him at a Sears conference. So I went along on Friday night and I listened. And he talked about the charge of the Light Brigade on Beersheba. And apologies, I'm not a historian. I didn't know that story. But as soon as I heard it, I knew it was true. And it just was just, it stabbed me. And I thought, wow, standing up for something that with God on your side, how inspirational would that be, you know? He told the story and it was awesome. And then he also talked about, he said, don't look back. Don't look back. And of course I knew that because Jesus had talked about that. And I'm a farmer. I used to plough the soil as a young boy. Now I'm no-till Bill. We don't plough now. But as Jesus said to the farmer, he says, do not look back or you're not fit for the kingdom. So he said that and I thought, that's right. He said a few other things, and Monique was sitting next to me. In fact, she was leaning against me because we'd have been to John Wimber as well. So we'd experienced some wonderful things in the spirit when John Wimber came here. We've had some prophetic words over us. One of those prophetic words I had was Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 3 to 10. It says that, do not say I'm a young man. Do not say I'm young and I cannot speak. I will give you the words. You will say what I tell you to say. You will tear down. You will overthrow. You will uproot. You will destroy. And then you will build and you will plant. I didn't really understand those words. But if I look back on my life, it's exactly what I've been doing. I've been uprooting ideas in agriculture, and that caused a tremendous conflict. I was basically sacked for standing up again for the truth and promoted to Canada. And now I'm an international global speaker on sustainable agriculture. So God, his gifting was there, his words were true, but I was lost and I was lonely. And I guess this is where it seems appropriate to encourage some of you ladies that have got men that are like me, that are just hurting deeply. Just keep loving them. Keep praying for them. When I came back to God, it was the sweetest week, sweetest month that I've had since those previous times. And I could see that God was just, because I'm a strong person, I guess, the way he dealt with me was just exactly the opposite. It was just so gentle. It was magnificent. He couldn't have done it any better. And, you know, and some words that Kerry said when I was coming along here, they were nice, you know, and they touched me. They were lovely. I can hear God speaking through you people. And Fred Anderson actually prayed for me when we were in Esperance and gave me a prophetic word as well, which was lovely and very encouraging. So I'd say be faithful, keep praying. Your husbands will. You know, I'm sure that if my experience any encouragement, then, you know, keep praying. And I had to go and thank all my friends. I went and saw Hayden Nelson and he wanted to talk to me for 2.5 hours and Hayden was very busy. They said, "You won't get to see Hayden." I said, "Oh, we'll just mention that I'm here." And he did, and Hayden came out and hugged me and he said, "What's been going on?" So we talked and talked. So I would have spoken to about 30 people and told them my little story. I don't have time now to tell the little story, but there's a Zimbabwean connection that maybe if those of you that are interested in it could find out about it through Robert Mugabe, because he was approached by people from Robert Mugabe's government to have a plan to restore sustainable agriculture to Zimbabwe. And when he saw my book, he said, "Who wrote that book?" And I put my hand up and he says, "You." He says, "I want you." And he's me thinking, I'm not praying to God at the moment. He doesn't want me. But it looks like it might be me. I've written 3 pages on how to restore agriculture to Zimbabwe. Robert Mugabe's picking up the wrong speech and everyone's too afraid to tell him he's got the wrong speech. He's 92. He's a powerful person. So there will be a story there in another chapter. But I think I should leave it at that, Kerry, unless you've got any specific questions.
It's good. Monique's part of our Connect group and she, you know, as a wife, it's pretty bold to say, "Yeah, come, let's have Connect Group at our house." But my husband doesn't really, you know, want to be invited. And I met you that first night there, and like you said, women pray, because in the background we've all been praying for Bill, and that's just an answer to prayer. It wasn't my prayer. It wasn't anyone else. It was God answering the prayer of the faithful. And this guy, when he seems pretty meek and mild now, doesn't he? But when, a couple of months ago, my goodness, it was like jumping. You were jumping up and down and excited and, you know, "Oh my goodness, it's born again Christians." It's like, it's great.
Gave money away to people that didn't have any, and I prayed for people in the street that were homeless, and we invited one guy in that didn't have a house, and yeah, God's done some wonderful things.
Actually invited a guy to come in. He's been to church a few times too.
He's in Perth today in church,
It's been amazing. Just absolutely incredible. Answer to prayer. Amen?
Yeah. So thank you, Hillside. Thank you.
And that wasn't, Bill wasn't trying to sell his book, but if you want to read a book on sustainable agriculture, it's a really good read. I like the front page. I think the pictures are good on the front page there. It's going to be some sort of intellect that I'm not, but anyway. Heavenly Father, I just pray for Bill right now. Lord, anoint him. And Lord, I pray, open doors for this man. Lord, not only for his book, but Lord, to the nations. And Lord, we just pray that a blessing upon him and his household. Lord, we lift up Monique and we just pray for protection upon her and her household. We thank you, Lord, for the prayers of a faithful woman. It can be such a great testimony to all of us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Isn't that good? Number 2, God is waiting and acting. God is patiently waiting for us to offer up our prayers to him. He sits in the heavens and desires nothing more than to hear your voice making requests to him. In this book, Unstoppable Force, that's Erwin McManus. He's an American preacher. It's a great book if you want to get it, Unstoppable Force. Shares a story of how prayers resulted in what only can be called miraculous recreation. And I'm going to read some of the book out to you. It says, while ministering in South Dallas, McManus' small congregation began to grow. Looking for a place to build a large church building, the leadership spotted an acre of land for sale. Given its location near downtown Dallas, it seemed strange that the property was available. Excited at their good fortune, the small group of people, many on welfare, began to pray that the site would soon be theirs. Eventually, they were able to purchase the property after receiving financial help from an association of churches. As the congregation began the process of obtaining building permits, they discovered the property had been declared unbuildable. The acre of land in prime location was nothing more than worthless landfill. It used to be an old tip. McManus grieved over this waste of precious time and money. He writes, we had bought an acre of garbage. Several core samples were taken. From that, what I understood, they went at least 25 feet deep and found nothing but trash. All I could do was ask for our congregation to pray with me and believe that God was with us and that he would make even the worst of human mistakes to perform the greatest of miracles. Yeah. After months of prayer, a woman from the congregation told McManus that since they'd asked God to turn the land into something useful, surely it had been taken care of. Feeling God's confirmation of her words, McManus asked for some more core samples to be taken. This time the researchers found soil. McManus writes, how did this happen? Was it because the core sample was in a different part of the land? Or could it be that God had actually performed a miracle that changed the landfill into good land? What I do know is that the same realtor who sold the property for me came back and offered me three times the amount he had sold it for once he had heard the clearance to build had actually come through. What I do know is that the previous owners could not build on the property, but we could. What I do know is that we were told the property was worthless and unusable. What I cannot tell you is what happened beneath the ground at 2185 South Elvery Street, Dallas. All I can tell you is that what I know, and that is that God took my failure and performed a miracle. Today, Cornerstone worships on that acre of land in the sanctuary built by our own hands. Isn't that amazing? God is able to answer your prayers. God is able to convert that unbelieving husband or wife of yours, as we've just heard. God is able to bring healing to your physical ailments. You know, I have been healed many times, personally. As I said before, people who are in heaven, I didn't say this before, but people who have passed away, you know, those people are in heaven and they won't be thinking, gee, I wish I was back down here on earth. They won't be. Sometimes I wish I could be up there like Paul. Just take me now. Oh, that's how excited I am about the kingdom of God. Yeah. That's how we should all be excited about the kingdom of God. Yeah, one day we're going to live and we're going to live. Really live. God is able to draw a marriage together that has been coming apart. I wouldn't be up here today married to my beautiful wife if I didn't have God in my life, and if we didn't pray to God, at the beginning of our marriage was shocking. It was horrible. But the thing that the glue that stuck us together, the cord that stuck us together, was God. Now we have five beautiful children. God is so good. God is able to give you boldness to witness for him. Believe it. You can witness. Every single one of you can witness for God. God is able to take away your sins. My goodness, he took away my sins. Wow. God is able to bring your prodigal son or daughter back home. I just spent the last couple of days with my parents, and every time, when around the Christmas table, the same old story gets brought up every year after year. Well, and Dad and Mum, they're getting on a bit more, and I really honour them, and I love them, but they always bring up the same story. You know, Dad just shakes his head and goes, well, God, there is a God, because we were praying for you, and look at you now. But if it wasn't for their prayers and the prayers of their brothers and sisters in their church, I can guarantee you I wouldn't be here today. Doesn't matter what your son or daughter are doing now. Don't hassle them. Don't berate them. Don't try and Bible bash them or anything. Pray for them. Just pray for them. Because my parents tried that. They tried belting me with the Bible, and they tried, Jesus, you're going to go to hell and all that sort of stuff. And the more they did that, the more I backed off. But you know what? I couldn't stop their prayers. Couldn't. God is able to bring your prodigal son and daughter back. God is able to do all these things and much, much more. There are many examples in Scripture of God's ability to answer prayers and beyond the request of our hearts and mouths. When Moses, for instance, asked for Israel's safety against the pursuing Egyptians, who could have imagined the Lord would part the Red Sea for their escape? Surely he would have just gone bang to the Egyptian ruler, to the Pharaoh. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego informed the king Nebuchadnezzar that they would rather be burned alive than bow down to his image. Now, we might have expected God to strike down the king, the pagan king, before he could cast his three godly youths into the incinerator. But who would have suggested that the Lord would allow them to endure the flames, would send a ministering spirit to protect them from harm throughout the whole ordeal? Who could have conceived that Christ would raise Jairus' daughter from death? In the Bible, Mark chapter 5. Let's read it. We got time? No, we haven't. Mark 5, read it. It's in Mark 5. But they learned that God is able to do immeasurably more than they could even ask or imagine. Now, I know that that every single prayer that we utter is not always answered the way we want it to be answered. And we can find reasons for the Bible why that is the case. But that does not change the fact that God does not hear and answer our prayers. Most of the time it's not in our time, and sometimes it's not in the way that we want them answered, but he knows what's best for us. He is simply waiting for us to open our hearts, open our minds and open our mouths and let him know our deepest desires. Can I have the music team up here, please? 1 John 5, 14, 15 says, and we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. I love what Ephesians 3:20 says. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask him or think. Do you believe? Do you believe? I started this series with I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Do you believe? These are God's priceless promises. You know, we've got the grace movement, we've got the faith movement. Let's start a belief movement. You know, faith is small as a mustard seed, but if you believe. You know, I walk out these walls here, I walk out into this community here, and you know what the problem is in this community today? There is no belief. Which equals no hope. And every now and then we get one person from the community coming in here. One at a time. They don't come in massive hordes or anything. Just one person that starts to believe. For instance, Monday night, tomorrow night, you're going to hear a young lady, Tanisha. You never believed, but then she started coming here and bit by bit, she believed. Now she's working in the back here with their children, children's ministry. She's working in the office. She believes. And there's been some horrific things happened in her life that you women are going to hear tomorrow night. But the only thing that's made her come through these things is her belief, her hope. I know some of you are going through some pretty tough stuff at the moment. You're going through that journey. My encouragement to you is to believe. Believe what God's saying to you. Because that belief that you have in Christ, the belief that you have in the Word of God, will bring you through, will carry you through, will transform you, will restore you. Can't say much more than that. Let's all stand just for a tick. Let's just bow our heads and if there's something that you've desired in your heart that you think it's too big for God, I'm going to tell you now, you're listening to the enemy because nothing's too big for God. I just want you to just take a moment just to shut your eyes and just pray for that thing. It might be restoration in a relationship. It might be a job. It might be something that you... Just anything that you may think it's too big for you. I'm standing here now. I want you to pray into that situation right now. And I want you to believe that God's going to do something in that area. And I want you to believe that God's going to give you a testimony, just like He did with Bill, and believe that the testimony is going to come. Be expectant, because that testimony is going to change lives. It's going to impact lives. And that's what God wants. Just take a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Remember to pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name. Eleanor, we speak healing into your body right now in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus, we speak restoration over that family, Lord, that you were hovering over last night. And we speak peace into that family right now. In Jesus' name, we speak sound mind over the minds, Lord, of people that have had bad things spoken over them. Lies of the enemy. We break that off in Jesus' name right now. And we speak life, an abundant life. We speak joy over them right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we speak to those tarot card readers and those mystic readers right now. We speak salvation into their lives right now. Hallelujah. Lord, we speak over our children. We say in Jesus' name, Lord, let them be raised up as mighty, mighty people of God. And we say to the enemy, back off in Jesus' name. Keep your hands, keep your words to yourself. You've been defeated. Hallelujah. Lord, we lift up, Lord, those children, Lord, that have walked away from you. Lord, we lift up those husbands, the wives, Lord, uncles, aunties, sisters, brothers that have walked away from you, walked away from the truth. We say in Jesus' name, bring them back. Lord, we say in Jesus' name, give us the boldness to be able to speak into people's lives, to be able to witness. Lord, we say in Jesus' name, Lord, help us in our daily walk with you. Thank you, Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you will pick the right person to lead this country. Lord, we pray that the leader will have the fear of the Lord. And we pray that the church will not have fear of man. We thank you in advance for our leader, for the leadership of this country, who you have ordained, who you have anointed, who you have picked. Pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.